And we looked in the first three verses of Hebrews on Sunday that Christ is the climax of God's revelation. That God revealed Himself first when He made the world. And then God began to reveal Himself through the Old Testament in various ways, the Bible says. But God's final word, God's climactic way that He revealed Himself was in Jesus Christ. That is God's final revelation of who He is to the entire world. There is no further revelation. And He is, Christ is, the supreme being in the universe tonight. Because He will inherit all things that you see. Christ made all things that you see and that you don't see. Christ is sustaining all things. In other words, He is preserving everything and causing it to work out to His plan of everything on the earth. Every person that sits as mayor of a city. Every person that's my neighbor. He is sustaining all things. He is supreme because, fourthly, He is God in human flesh. And number five, Jesus Christ is supreme because He did what had never been done in the history of the earth. He accomplished God's eternal plan. Now, I want to start off tonight by saying this to all of us. As we continue on in Hebrews, we'll begin tonight in verse 4. But before we do, angels are amazing creatures. Vastly superior to human beings, angels are. Do you know that an angel, according to the Bible, one time went into one of the most evil and powerful armies in the history of the world at that time, called the Assyrian army, and one angel by himself killed every warrior and commander to the tune of over 180,000 people by himself in one encounter. One angel, 180,000 soldiers. Do you know that one angel one time went in down to a den of lions? Absolutely ferocious lions who any human being who ever fell in their presence would be eaten alive. And one angel went down inside that pit and those lions became kitty cats. They were sitting off to the side. They did nothing. Do you know that an angel one time on the day that Jesus resurrected by himself went down to a stone that we know from culture history that stone in front of the tomb where Jesus was buried would have weighed approximately 2,000 pounds. And that one angel rolled that stone away. You and I have never seen a human being ever with our eyes that is incredibly powerful like an angel. Angels are also amazingly swift. Do you know they can move from heaven to earth? Boom! Angels are also incredibly beautiful. They're described in the Bible as these creatures with many wings and voices that are stuff that you've never heard. I mean, can you imagine tonight if we were to... The best I could ever come up with, I was thinking about this today, how could I possibly describe an angel? The best I can do is if you guys have seen Lord of the Rings. What are those guys with the pointy ears and they can shoot bows and arrows real good? What are they called? The elves. All right. And you see these guys all... If you guys have seen the Lord of the Rings, you see these elves marching off. And are these guys like... They never die? They go off to this land that never... All right, well, again, you have to see the Lord of the Rings to appreciate that illustration. But angels are, let's put it this way, they are amazing. As a matter of fact, I really believe, can you imagine what anybody on this earth would do if they saw a living angel? I mean, what has this earth done when they saw what they think to be an incredible human being? What about the Dalai Lama? This man over in Tibet, who people think that he is such an amazing human being, they worship the Dalai Lama. Or when the most recent Pope came to hold a mass at Yankee Stadium, and his magnificence and all the other things they call him, and people were just flocking to go to the stadium to to venerate this amazing human being. Now, if people feel that way about the Dalai Lama and Pope Benedict, don't you think that if they ever met an angel, someone that powerful, someone that swift, someone that beautiful, that is vastly superior to anything you have ever seen in your entire life, what do you think people would be tempted to do? To worship them. And I want you to think about that for a second, and now to realize this, that as great as angels are, they don't even come close to the one that you're about to see. The Scripture points us to someone who is as superior to angels as angels are to us. And the only thing I can think of to maybe help us picture in our mind tonight the difference between angels and us, but now this one and angels, will be about the difference between here and heaven. I mean, I've been to some beautiful places, and there are a lot more that I want to go to, but I've been to some beautiful places on God's earth. I told you on Sunday about going to a Yellowstone Park. And honestly, I would say the most beautiful place I ever saw was Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We came down from some mountains coming out of Yellowstone Park and looked down to what to me, looked like the Garden of Eden. I have never seen such lush greenery in these beautiful crystal streams. I would say, if I could picture the Garden of Eden, I saw it, and I think it's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, as beautiful as some of the places that you and I think that we have seen on this earth, heaven is, it's no contest. I mean, heaven is described as a place where this river of glass runs right down through the center of it. And every type of gem and diadem on the gates and the streets paved of pure, transparent gold. I mean, there is no place that I could ever go to on this earth as beautiful as I sit there as a human being and say, man, that is gorgeous. When I get to heaven, Now, if we were to see an angel, all of us little human beings, we have never seen, we would want to worship. But now, let's see someone who absolutely blows them away. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. And we're going to see in these next verses why Christ is so much better than the angels. And let's see. And there are seven reasons in this chapter that the Bible says that Christ is much better than the angels. And when we get done with these seven reasons, I'm going to give you the title of the sermon, because you'll see it then. First, in verse 5, "For to which of the angels did He, God, ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you,' and again, 'I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me'?" The first reason the Bible reveals that Christ is much better than angels, I mean, as angels are immeasurably superior to us, He is immeasurably superior to them. And the first reason is this, because He is the Son of God. The Bible says in verse 4, he has inherited a more excellent name. That name is Son. It says in verse 5 that the Bible says, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. The word begotten means to bring him forth. It's like, here is one that I am going to now bring out to you. That's the idea of begotten. I want to show you this in two other places in the New Testament to show you this, what this idea of begotten means. Go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 33. This is not saying that Jesus, that God gave birth to Jesus, but that God brought Jesus forth. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 33. And that is not the verse that I'm looking for. Excuse me one second. All right, I'm not finding my reference. I'm sorry, I wrote it down wrong. What happens in this passage of Acts is this. The Bible says, look at Acts 13. That's what it is. Acts 13, verse 33. I'm sorry. Acts 13, verse 33. That God has fulfilled this promise to our children in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In other words, when Jesus was raised from the dead, at that moment, God brought him forth. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Speaking of his Son, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible takes what was quoted in the Psalms and says God fulfilled that when he brought Jesus out from the dead. So we go back to our text. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, the first reason that God says that Christ is superior to the angels is because he is the Son of God. Now, in the New Testament wording, the word Son equals God. By calling Jesus the Son, he is calling him God. And I'm going to show you a couple examples. Go back to John chapter 5 and verse 18. John chapter 5 and verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. By the fact that he was calling God his Father, all those Jews that heard him saying that knew that what he was saying was that he is God. The reason why, first of all, Christ is vastly superior to angels is because he is the Son of God. He is God. Look at John chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. Look at what Jesus says. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works in the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The fact that you're referring to God as your Father, you're making yourself to be God. They understood that. That's what he was doing. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. There's absolutely no doubt of the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not another prophet. Jesus is not a great teacher. Jesus is God. Superior to any angel. And by the way, think about that for a second. If he is vastly superior to any angel, then certainly he is superior to any other human being. And so for anybody in our city to say, well, our teacher, we accept Jesus and we also accept Muhammad. We accept Jesus and also the writings of Joseph Smith who comes. No, the Bible says that Jesus is the climax of God's revelation, immeasurably superior to angels, never mind other human beings. He is God, the Bible says, and there is no other. By the way, I want to point out to you in our text just one thing to note, and that is that you'll notice verse 5 and going on to the end of this chapter, there are several quotations from the Old Testament, which indicates to us that the Old Testament was inspired by God, that the New Testament writers saw the Old Testament as being inspired by God, because it says over and over again, he says, and it quotes the Old Testament, saying, God said this, God said that. Now, what is the second reason why Jesus is superior to the angels? Well, number two, the angels are commanded to worship him. Look at verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, I want to comment on this word firstborn. Again, someone could wonder, is this saying that Jesus was the firstborn son of God? No, that's not the idea of firstborn. The idea of the word firstborn means the preeminent one. And again, I want to prove this to you from the Bible to understand this. I'm going to show you four places. Go back to Exodus 4 in verse 22. Exodus 4 in verse 22. The idea of firstborn is the idea of being the preeminent one, the one above all others, the first in rank. Exodus 4, verse 22. See how the word firstborn is used here. God says to Moses to say to Pharaoh in verse 22, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. In other words, Israel was very special to God. They were his chosen ones. And the expression he used was, my firstborn. In other words, God didn't have other children after Israel. Psalm chapter 89, verse 27. Psalm 89 and verse 27. Speaking, first of all, really of David, but then in a long view of Jesus, Psalm 89, verse 27 says, I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. God said about David. David was going to be my preeminent one. I'll show you two more. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. That he would be the preeminent one among all those who would come as well. And then finally, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. Colossians 1, 15 to 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Of all created things, of everything that you see in front of you on your eyes, Christ is preeminent over all of them, superior over all of creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Christ is the preeminent one. So that, what are our first two reasons the Bible gives? The reason why Christ is superior to angels, better than the angels, is number one, He is the Son of God. He has a more excellent name. And number two, the angels are commanded to worship Him. And by the way, if we were to go to Isaiah chapter 6 right now in the Old Testament, you would see in Isaiah chapter 6 in the first four verses that one time Isaiah, 700 years plus before this was written, was allowed to see into heaven. And there the Bible says he saw Jesus sitting on a throne. And the whole place was filled with smoke. And he saw Jesus in great power. He had a voice of the angels praising Jesus in heaven. And the voice of the angel praising him made the foundation shake. So do the angels of God worship Jesus? Yes, they do. He is vastly superior to them. What is the third reason why Jesus is better than the angels? Look at verses 7 and 8. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. The third reason that Christ is so much better than the angels is this: he rules, they serve. See, he says in verse 7 that angels are God's ministers. By the way, look down at verse 14. Tells us again, verse 14 of chapter 1. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? That's an entire other topic. We won't talk about that tonight. But the Bible teaches that angels are God's servants who minister to all of us who are going to inherit salvation. That's what they do. God sends them on missions to aid His children who are on their way to heaven. Angels serve, but instead what the Bible says of the Son, He rules on a throne. Christ is superior. Because He is a Son of God, because the angels are commanded to worship Him, and because He rules and they serve. Number four, in verse 9. Why is Christ so much better than the angels? Fourthly, because of His steadfast righteousness. Look at verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Those verbs, you have loved and hated, are the kinds of verbs that indicate this has always been the case. You know, Jesus one time asked when He was on earth, when there were many men that were mad at Him because He was claiming to be God. And Jesus said to them, imagine this, He said in John chapter 8 and verse 46, which of you convicts me of sin? He could look at all these people who were in the area that He grew up in, who knew Him from when He was a little boy, and ask them, can anybody here accuse me of one sin? They could not. The reason why Jesus, fourthly, is so superior to angels is because of His steadfast righteousness. You know what? Jesus did what angels have never done. You know what He did? He subjected Himself to the temptations and trials and sufferings of this world, and yet maintained His perfection. The angels have never done this. Now, I try to think about this today. Can you imagine if all of us left Rhode Island for a long time? And we hadn't seen it, and the last we saw Rhode Island, it looked like it does today. When we saw all the nice things happening down here, and we went over down to Beaver Tail and those places and saw the water. But can you imagine if you and I came back, let's say 30 years from now, and we came into Providence in Rhode Island, and what we saw was the most disgusting, shocking thing that you can imagine. Can you imagine if this state was like a living cesspool, literally? And on the street, what we saw when I come back here, instead of all these buildings, I saw nothing but absolute shambles. I saw human waste running up and down the street. I saw people absolutely starving and And I walked in and I said, I can't believe this is not what it was. And I try to imagine in my heart, what was it like for Jesus, who created this earth initially, in all of its beauty, and it was so good, God said, for Jesus to leave heaven and come and live on this earth. When I picture something disgusting, I picture human waste running across the streets. I picture where I went a few years ago when I went to Indonesia right after the tsunami. And I got to tell you guys, it's impossible for me to describe to you. 250,000 people in one giant wave, they said, which is about 40 feet high and was going 60 miles an hour, went 4 miles inland and literally swept every single human being gone. I have never seen, when we went to Indonesia, I saw for 4 miles an absolute, for a house, what used to be a front step, I would see one step and then there's nothing there. We would go up and down the streets, and I'm telling you, I saw absolutely filthy kids, and on the side of the street, I mean, as tall as I was, going straight down the road, piles of human garbage. The absolute stench. And as disgusted as I felt looking that day, I wonder to God Almighty, what kind of cesspool did it feel like to Him to come to this place of absolute sin. And the Bible says, I saw this in the news yesterday. They said that they hear sounds coming off the earth way out into space, and these very sharp, like scary sounds. They can hear, in other words, the earth is making sounds that we can't hear. And I wonder if that's the earth groaning. What would it have been like for Christ to come here? See, this is why He is so superior to the angels. You know what I thought about today too? What would it have been like to have been one of the angels when Jesus had come all the way down this earth and He was in the wilderness after being tempted, and one of the angels came and ministered to Him? When the angel knew where He came from, the angel just left there. And the angels knew what Jesus had done in creating this whole. And to come down and see Jesus, I mean, how would you have felt? How would that angel feel? And the Bible says the angels, of course, all of what Jesus has done to them is an incredible mystery. How would the angel, how must have the angel have felt who came to the Garden of Gethsemane? And God sent him down there to help His son on the night before He was to be crucified. And the angel knows where Jesus is from. Jesus is incredibly superior to the angels because of His steadfast righteousness. The fifth reason is in verse 10. Jesus is vastly superior to the angels because He is the Creator. Verse 10. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Your hands. Number 6, the sixth reason why Christ is vastly superior to the angels is that He is eternal. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. They will perish, but You remain, and they all will become old like a garment. And like a mantle, You will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not come to an end. Christ is vastly superior to the angels because apparently even angels themselves deteriorate, move on. We don't know, all understand with them, but Christ is in contrast to them in the fact that He is eternal. And certainly with all of us. Think about the weakness of men. Just this past couple days, I've talked to some of you guys. I've been watching these videos from Desiring God on the supremacy of Christ in the postmodern world. And it's funny, yesterday I was watching this guy named D.A. Carson, who's a well-known professor in Illinois, And D.A. Carson's written a lot of great commentaries. But I was watching Carson yesterday, and Carson began to tell, the day before he was in a group discussion, and Carson began to tell about his father, who back in the 60s and 70s had, and Carson grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and his dad had gone to Canada and, to plant this church, and he said really saw hardly any fruit there for, until his dad was like in his mid-60s, and all of a sudden in that area of Quebec, some things started happening, but really his dad almost felt, Carson was saying his dad almost felt like he kind of was left out of the, although at the end he said his dad was in his 80s, and then all the churches there recognized him kind of like as this great, great leader, but for all of his ministry. But as I was watching Carson, I was noticing him, like a couple times in his voice when he was speaking yesterday, I saw the signs of age and in Carson. I thought to myself, D.A. Carson is standing for a large audience today, thousands of people, but not in too long of a time, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, D.A. Carson will be in a nursing home and he won't be able to speak to all those people. He has this brief time and now he's speaking with authority and all of his wit is there, but with the passing of time, so he will pass. The other day, I had a chance to, in one of the properties we looked at, meet with one of the most well-known citizens here, a former mayor of Providence. And it's funny, I got a call from one of his guys who works for him and says, hey, can you come down and meet him right now? This is on Monday afternoon. So I go down there, and I'm waiting in the lobby. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, boy, you know, Ted, you got to, you know, look good here and be strong and act like you know what you're talking about, you know. And while I'm sitting there in the lobby, I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. The Bible says men of low degree are vanity and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, together, they're all lighter than breath. The Bible says, O Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, every man at his best is a mere breath. And so I'm thinking, you know what, Ted? This guy you're talking to, he may not even be here in 20 years. You trust God. God and Christ is so different from all of us. I thought about Tim Russert. Tim Russert, who was just a few weeks ago, I mean, you talk about a guy who was a mover and shaker in Washington, D.C., who knew everybody. I mean, his hands are involved in everything. He's gone. Everybody picked up right where they left off. He's gone. Angels and certainly us are such passing creatures, but Jesus Christ is eternal. He is vastly superior because he is the Son of God, because the angels are commanded to worship him, because he rules and they serve, because of his steadfast righteousness, because he is the Creator. Because he is eternal, and number 7, found in verse 13. Because he is exalted to the highest place. Verse 13 says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? The highest place in the universe is at the right hand of God. And that's where Jesus sits enthroned right now. I want you to look at this one passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, think about this in verse 9, and think about even what I said a minute ago. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to come to this cesspool? And because he was willing to do that, the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 9, "For this reason also God highly exalted him." Because he knows where his son went from. "And bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God so highly esteems what His Son did. He is exalted to the highest place. In conclusion, I want to see how God applies this reality to us in the first four verses of chapter 2. And by the way, you know what the title of our sermon is now? Christ is much better than the angels because He is God. That's the title of the sermon. He is the Son of God. The angels are commanded to worship Him. He rules, they serve. His steadfast righteousness. He is a creator. He is eternal. And He's exalted to the highest place. So now, can you guys see now why Christ is so much better than the angels? Christ is God. And I want to ask you tonight, do you believe this? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do it now. But a great thing to do would be to read Jesus' prayer in John 17. You read the whole chapter. And Jesus says at least three times in that prayer, He says to God, "God, they believe that You sent Me. All these ones, they believe." You see, true Christians believe that Jesus is God. Now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, this is how God applies this reality to us, the fact that Christ is so much better than the angels. He says to all of us, "For this reason," chapter 2, verse 1, "we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." In other words, all of you now, listen, that now that Christ is here, and Christ is God, you thought the angels were great. Let me tell you, someone who is totally way beyond them, and now that He has come and He has spoken, you must pay much closer attention to what you have heard so that you do not drift away. This means to let it slip away from you, to let it glide by you, like someone says, "Oh, it just slipped from my mind." Now, the Bible says, now that Christ God is here and He has spoken, you better pay very close attention to what He is saying so it doesn't slip away from you. Verse 2, "For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable." In other words, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 7 and verse 53 and Galatians 3 verse 19 that God used angels to transmit the Old Testament. When God was delivering the Old Testament to His prophets, He used angels to do it. The Bible says if the word spoken through angels, the Old Testament, proved unalterable, you couldn't change it, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, anybody who disobeyed the Old Testament law was penalized for it. And we can tell many examples of that. For example, Achan, who stole and he was executed. If the angels, what they said was unalterable, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If people in the Old Testament didn't escape, how do you think you're going to escape if you neglect? The word neglect means to be careless of, to make light of, to not think it worth your while to really consider, you will never escape. I think about this verse today. Last night there was someone who lives down here who I've had a couple of very long conversations with. Not in a long time, but I see them often. But two nights ago, I saw them again, and it was a time when we could actually talk a little bit. And I said to them, I said, have you thought any more about Christ? And they said to me, no. No. And I think right now about that person. You will never escape if you are careless of and you make light of so great a salvation. The salvation described in chapter 1, verse 3, where He made a purification for our sins and He sat down. As a matter of fact, I want us to see real quickly how God feels when someone makes light of the salvation that Jesus provided. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, the Bible tells a story. The word the Bible uses is a parable. And just look at these, listen to these verses, verses 1 through 10, Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers, and their city, set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. You know what I see in that parable? That God is enraged when people ignore and pay no attention to the salvation that His Son has provided. God is saying to all of us here tonight, you will not escape if you neglect the word of my Son. Someone has said, inaction in spiritual things is fatal. For you to not act when Christ has spoken is absolutely fatal. You must listen to Him. And very quickly, I want you to see three things about this salvation, verse 3 and 4. This salvation has, number one, been proclaimed by the Lord. See what it says? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord. This salvation is proclaimed by the Lord. Number two, it is confirmed by eyewitnesses. Verse 3 says, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. In other words, there were people who lived and saw the gospel Jesus preached. They lived and saw it. The gospel you read in the Bible now about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they confirmed it. This salvation was proclaimed by the Lord. Who is the Lord? He is God. It was confirmed by eyewitnesses. And number three, according to verse 4, this salvation was certified by God Himself. Verse 4 says, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. God certified that what these eyewitnesses have recorded for us in the New Testament, God certified that what they recorded is absolutely accurate. And He certified it because of the miracles He let them perform while they were on this earth. So you know what our conclusion is this? Christ is God. pay much closer attention to His Word and do not drift away from or neglect it. And that's for all of us sitting in this room tonight. God takes very serious the Word that He's spoken and the salvation He's given. And if any of us here tonight were to neglect this or drift away from it, we will not escape. Anyone in the sound of my voice tonight, you will never escape if you neglect so great a salvation. Obey the gospel. The Bible says, in flaming fire, the Lord will come with His mighty angels, dealing out retribution to those who do not obey God or His gospel. They'll be punished with eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. There's only one thing that God is commanding all of us to do, and that is to believe His Son. Let's pray. Father, I just praise You tonight for Your incredible love to all of us, in that You sent Your Son to this earth to save us from our sin. Dear God, I pray tonight for all of us in this room and those who are listening, that we will not neglect the Word of Christ, what He has done for us on the cross. And Lord, I pray that no one will drift away from that salvation, but that we will pay much closer attention so that will not happen. I pray, dear God, that You will accomplish that in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, and I praise You for Jesus tonight. Praise You, Jesus, for Your incredible excellence. You are so great, and we worship You. And we believe You, and we will follow You. Amen.